Very good Friday. Welcome to today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature agricultural news reports, I'll bring you a look at national and regional agricultural news headlines, and I'll start with regional ag news right after this.
Get ready for the 2023 Crop Consultant Conference in Visalia, California on September 27th and 28th, hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and Western Region Certified Crop Advisors. This two-day event will feature a combined 44 hours of live and online continuing education units for attendees in the heart of California, a trade show, first-class dining, entertainment, and a mixer. Come join CCAs, PCAs, growers, and industry professionals at the Visalia Convention Center to hear from researchers and colleagues on the latest in agriculture. Registration is now open at progressivecrop.com/conference.
We're waking up to a new dawn in agriculture, a better way, where farmers stop working the soil and start working with it. At Huma, our carbon-rich, humate-based products improve soil health and fertility, deliver nutrients more efficiently, and reduce crop input costs. Welcome to Humix Solutions with a human touch. Visit huma.us to learn more.
Tomorrow marks the end of the National Farmers Market Week, and the California Department of Food and Agriculture is encouraging all Californians to celebrate National Farmers Market Week by visiting a local certified farmers market. National Farmers Market Week is an annual celebration that highlights a vital role that farmers markets play in the nation's food system. Coordinated by the Farmers Market Coalition, this year's celebration recognizes that for more than 50 years, farmers' markets have influenced the way Americans eat, shop, and connect to their food, to farmers, and with each other. Farmers markets also serve as a valuable education opportunity to speak with local farmers and learn what's in season and how favorite fruits and vegetables are produced, and also acquire an enhanced understanding of agriculture as a whole. According to a study conducted by the American Farm Bureau Federation, 72% of consumers know nothing or very little about farming or ranching. CDFA invites all Californians to find a certified farmers market to visit, and you can log on to their website to do so. North Coast wine grape growers came before state water officials recently to oppose proposed rules to stem water pollution. The proposal was drafted in an effort to meet state and federal clean water mandates. Similar orders are already in place in most regions in California. The new waste discharge rules for the North Coast, if adopted, could affect 65,000 vineyard acres, mostly in the Navarro and Russian River watersheds. About 1,500 wine grape growers would have to enroll in a new program, according to the agency. The workshop before the North Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board in Santa Rosa drew about three dozen speakers, including Mendocino growers, critical of the proposed state mandate. If adopted, the order would require vineyard self-assessments, mitigations to remediate sources of pollution, and source and groundwater monitoring and reporting. There would also be pesticide use reporting. No decision was made on the draft order and its in-depth environment impact on a report. The board had anticipated evaluating and possibly adopting the proposal in December. However, the vice chairman indicated he was inclined to postpone a decision. Growers and other speakers who spoke deplored the proposed monitoring and reporting mandates, the lack of data on sources of pollution, and the costs of implementing the order. As part of this order, staff estimated about 300 acres of vineyards could be taken out of production to meet stream setback requirements and create streamside buffer zones. However, growers estimated that was an underestimation. Comments on the draft order can be forwarded to the North Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board until August 30th. With the California citrus season only months away, the families of Kings River Packing LP are proactively adding resources to increase capacity and provide dedicated resources to expand service to its customers. The most recent additions include the acquisition of Visalia Citrus Packing Group Incorporated's packing facilities and operations and transportation coordinator Mark Cogburn. Along with the facilities, the over 200 current employees will continue to operate the facilities when the season begins in October. They are blessed to be able to start the season with employees that have expertise and familiarity with the facilities, according to Keith Gardner, general manager and family owner of Kings River Packing. With the expansion to five production facilities, the families welcome Mark Cogburn, a 36-year-old veteran in the transportation industry, to the team to ensure a seamless transition for customers. Cogburn's team is focused on overseeing transfers between between facilities to ensure customers are only receiving one pickup location and the added service of delivered loads at competitive rates. They understand the challenges that multiple facilities bring and have been proactive in planning and execution so that their customers don't feel the impact when the season begins, according to Cogburn. Mission Produce Incorporated, based in Oxnard, California, and a world leader in sourcing, producing, and distributing fresh Hass avocados with additional offerings in mangoes and blueberries, has announced the appointment of Tony Bashir Sarsam to its board of directors effective August 14th. Sarsam is appointed as an independent Class 1 director with a term expiring at the company's 2024 annual meeting of stockholders. In connection with this appointment, Mission Produce's board of directors has increased the size of the board from 8 to 9 directors. Sarsam is a highly strategic executive with over 30 years of experience in the food industry, including extensive operational and executive level experience at numerous food distribution and retail companies. Since 2020, he has served as president and chief executive officer of Spartan Nash, a $9.6 billion food solutions company with 17,500 associates and a global supply chain network. Prior to joining Spartan Nash, Sarsam held executive leadership positions at companies including Borden Dairy Company, Ready Pack Foods, Nestle USA Direct Store Delivery Company, Dreyer's, and PepsiCo, where he built an impressive track record of driving record sales performance, leading organizational growth and transformation, and solving complex challenges with cross-functional business strategies. In addition to serving on the board of Spartan Nash and the Spartan Nash Foundation, Sarsam holds board positions at three nonprofit organizations, including the Food Marketing Institute, Arizona State University Foundation, and Business Leaders for Michigan. He received a Master of Science in Management from Stanford University and a Bachelor of Science in Engineering from Arizona State University. The National FFA Organization has announced a record high student membership of 945,988 students. That's an increase of 11% from last year. In addition, the number of FFA chapters continues to grow, increasing by 168 this year, resulting in 9,163 chapters in the U.S., Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. National FFA CEO Scott Stump says it's exciting to see their numbers grow and to know they continue to influence the next generation of leaders, adding that they are excited to see the enthusiasm for agricultural education and FFA reflected in their membership. The top five membership states are California, Texas, Georgia, Illinois, and North Carolina. This year, the organization has more than 150,000 Latino members, more than 500,000 Black members, and more than 9,000 Asian members, more than 14,000 American Indian and Alaska Native members, and more than 2,400 Native Hawaiian and Pacific Islander members. More than 43% of the membership is female, and 49.8% is male. In a case study, scientists detected a costly infection in Cabernet Sauvignon wine grapes before they showed symptoms visible to the human eye. Withering molds, rotting bacteria, viruses, and other plant pathogens destroy an estimated 15 to 30% of global harvest every year. Early detection can make the difference between a failed crop and a treatable one. Using an airborne science instrument developed at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Southern California, researchers have found that they can accurately spot the stealthy signs of a grape disease that inflicts billions of dollars in annual crop damage. The remote sensing technique could aid ground-based monitoring for this and other crops. In a pair of studies, researchers from JPL and Cornell University focused on a viral disease called GLRAV3, which is short for grapevine leaf roll associated with virus complex 3. Primarily spread by insects, the virus reduces yields and sours developing fruit, costing the U.S. wine and grape industry some $3 billion in damage and losses annually. It typically is detected by labor-intensive vine-by-vine scouting and expensive molecular testing. The research team wanted to see if they could help growers identify the virus infections early and from the air using machine learning and NASA's next-generation airborne visible infrared imaging spectrometer. The instrument's optical sensor, which records the interaction of sunlight with chemical bonds, has been used to measure and monitor hazards such as wildfires, oil spills, greenhouse gases, and air pollution associated with volcanic eruptions. It was during a 2020 campaign to map methane leeks in California, that plant pathologist Dr. Katie Gold and her team seized the opportunity to pose a different question. Could the virus uncover undercrop infection in one of the state's most important grape-producing regions? Like humans, sick plants may not exhibit outward symptoms right away, making early detection a greatest challenge facing growers, according to Gold, an assistant professor at Cornell University and senior author of the new studies. In the case of grapevine leaf roll virus, it could take up to a year before a vine betrays the telltale signs of infection, such as discolored foliage and stunted fruit. However, on a cellular level, stress is well underway before then, changing how the sun interacts with the plant tissue. Installed in the belly of an airplane, the technology called Avaris NG observed roughly 11,000 acres of vineyards in Lodi, the region located in the heart of California's Central Valley, which is a major producer of the state's premium wine grapes. The team fed the observations into computer models they developed and trained to distinguish infection. To help check the results, industry collaborators scouted more than 300 acres of the vineyards from the ground for the visible viral symptoms while collecting vine samples for molecular testing. Gold noted it was a labor-intensive process undertaken during a California heat wave. Without the hard work of the growers, industry collaborators, and the scouting teams, none of what they accomplished would have been possible, she said. Similar efforts will continue under the NASA Acres Consortium, of which Gold is a lead scientist. The researchers found that they were able to differentiate non-infected and infected vines both before and after they became symptomatic, with the best-performing models achieving 87% accuracy. Successful early detection of the virus could help provide grape growers up to a year's warning to intervene. In a complimentary paper published in a journal of geophysical research, Biogeosciences, the researcher said their case study shows how emerging capabilities in air and space can support ground-based pathogen surveillance efforts. These capabilities include forthcoming missions like NASA's Surface Biology and Geology, part of the fleet of missions that will compose the agency's Earth System Observatory. They said that SBG will provide data that could be used in combination with machine learning for agricultural decision-making at the global scale.
We're about 7 weeks out from this year's Crop Consultant Conference in Visalia, California, and it was just announced that 51 and a half hours of combined online and in-person continuing education units, including DPR units, are being made available to all registered attendees. Yes, that was 51 and a half for the number there. And 10 of these units will be available online before the conference. Dr. Carl Wyant of Nutrien and Western Region Certified Crop Advisors explained why gaining access to these hours as a consultant is going to be hard to pass up.
When I was registering for the conference, I saw 51 and a half total hours, and that's across Certified Crop Advisor, California PCA, and Arizona PCA. 51 and a half hours is a nice opportunity to come in over 2 days, September 27th and 28th, right down the road, get those hours done and get it done for a relative bargain, so we can get these things hammered out and learn a bunch of good content, hear from some great speakers. And one thing I'm looking forward to this year, And every year I promise myself I'm not going to sit there in December and watch a whole bunch of webinars to get my renewals done. But, this conference really offers me the chance to get all of my hours for the year and send in my renewal packets early, especially on that California PCA license, which you just need a couple months lead time to get that thing turned around for 2024.
The combination of the online and in-person CEUs allowed the consultant to complete their units for the year in swift fashion, while getting the added bonus of hearing from researchers and peers live in person. Price-wise, it's also a bargain at $5.35 per CEU, which, according to Wyant, is typically far less than normal CEU course expenditures the consultants have to incur each year just to maintain their licenses.
CEU courses, all the way from $20 an hour to, I've seen some up towards $100, just depending on where it's at and what topic it is. So, you mentioned that $5.35 a CEU for this conference, great bargain. And especially if you go to in person, what a way to really, really optimize both your time, your travel expenditure, and then, the price per unit for the CEU as well. So all in all, it's a great chance to to get some training done and make sure you're compliant with all your end of your license requirements.
A couple things Wyant is looking forward to for the conference next month.
JCS Media and the Western Region Certified Crop Advisors, you know, we work on the agenda together. So this is, you know, it's a lot of content that's interesting to both growers and advisors. You know, we have content on the pesticide roadmap that's coming out. We have content on soil health. We have content on groundwater recharge. And so, you know, lots of great things to learn, which I think, you know, if you go to a conference, the interesting presentations are really what draws you there. And if you can knock out your hours at the same time, what a win-win for everybody. You know, and one of the other things we like about this conference, you know, co-hosting with JCS and then the Western Region CCA, is the chance to celebrate the advisors. And so we have our student scholarship award ceremony we'll be throwing. We have our Ag Faculty Awards, and we also have our Western Region CCA of the Year that we'll be handing out. So it's a great chance to celebrate our community, celebrate all the work we do during the year advising, and then, of course, learn lots of cool stuff for the next season.
As a reminder, the Crop Consultant Conference is taking place next month in Visalia, California at the Visalia Convention Center on September 27th and 28th. That's a Wednesday and a Thursday. Link to register is down below in the description. You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Chalstrom.
Organic fresh produce grew slightly in sales dollars and volume in the second quarter of 2023, reversing a trend of volume loss seen in 2021 and 2022. Overall, organic fresh produce dollar sales increased by 1.5% for quarter two 2023 compared to the same period last year, with sales for the quarter topping $2.4 billion. Volume movement nudged up slightly less than 1%, reversing a downward volume trend that started in 2021. During quarter two 2023, conventional produce dollar sales grew by 2%, while volume declined by 1.3% as total sales topped $18.8 billion. The Organic Produce Network and Category Partners reports the rate of organic sales growth, while still positive, slowed compared to past years, giving volume a chance to match that growth. In the second quarter of this year, 11 of the top 20 organic fresh produce categories posted increases in dollar sales compared to the same time last year. House Agriculture Democrats have issued a farm bill ultimatum to majority Republicans. Keep your hands off SNAP or there won't be a farm bill. Every Ag Democrat has signed a letter to House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, led by Ag Ranking Member David Scott, who said in June,
"We stand united against any efforts to take food away from children, families, or any vulnerable American in this farm bill or any legislation."
The letter pointedly reminds McCarthy that playing partisan SNAP politics resulted in early failures of the 2014 and 2018 House Farm Bill versions, jeopardizing safety net programs for farmers. But Ag Republicans, led by Glenn G.T. Thompson, argue SNAP at 82% of the farm bill and possibly more, despite new work requirements in the Debt Reduction Act, must be reformed.
"Let's move from states going out of their way to keep employable individuals idle and disengaged and spend more time fostering connections with employers and education providers."
And USDA is reporting an 11.5% FY22 SNAP error rate in the states, which drew bipartisan protests. And then there's a spending revolt on a Republican right also challenging McCarthy, former American Farm Bureau Federation staffer Andrew Walmsley.
"There's some on the far right in particular that want to continue to have a discussion, and that's something that leadership and Congress will have to navigate towards getting a farm bill done."
Appropriations bill fights over spending levels and politically sensitive issues and departments could further complicate farm bill prospects, consuming precious floor time, or worse, risking a government shutdown. USDA has announced grant awards to several small and rural school districts in an effort to improve quality and nutrition of school meals through the Healthy Meals Incentives Initiative. USDA Ag News reporter Rod Bain.
Making sure students have healthy meals as they prepare for the upcoming school year.
"Our broader approach to school nutrition is to show that we're supporting school nutrition operators in every way we can, while also working to move the ball forward on making school meals even healthier and tasty in a measured and achievable way."
Agriculture Deputy Secretary Xochitl Torres-Small with reporters Monday, discussing the Healthy Meals Incentives Initiative and grants announced for school districts reaching students in our nation's highest need schools. The funding from USDA's Food and Nutrition Service is allocated as grants from Action for Healthy Kids. The organization's CEO, Rob Bisigli, explains.
Action for Healthy Kids has awarded $30 million to subgrants to 264 school districts across 44 states.
The awards assisting small and rural school districts with modernization of school kitchen facilities and improvement of nutritional quality of meals. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The dairy checkoff marked its 13th year of impact through Fuel Up to Play 60 while preparing a strategy to bring more partners together. Beginning this school year, the checkoff will shift to the Fuel Up platform. The effort will expand opportunities to increase access to dairy with other foods and engage youth around healthy eating and food production. With the announcement, Dairy Management Incorporated is transitioning from a partnership with NFL to a no-cost collaboration, which paves the way to co-create programs that support youth wellness. DMI President and CEO Barbara O'Brien says that they need to think differently to protect farmers' ability to deliver long-term value to children and in schools. Fuel Up will work with schools and partners to deliver solutions and resources that increase access to dairy products, expand meal participation, and educate students on the role of nutrition in physical wellness and academic achievement.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing Team, thank you for listening.